Here on Missouri Nuts Press Box Podcast, I've got Nick Wagner from StLouisRams.com. He's their senior writer. Nick, we're getting ready for the football season. This is an exciting time here for the Rams, 4-0 in the preseason. Should fans be excited?
I think they should be excited, not necessarily for the reason that they were 4-0 in the preseason, but just for the fact that this team has really come together, made a lot of strides last year, obviously, and then went out and really were active in free agency and added pieces at the places where they needed help and were able to do the things they needed to do to improve the roster. And I think now with another year under Sam Bradford's belt and some of these other young players that they have kind of at the core of the team, these guys are all developing into the types of players they want and that they can build a foundation around.
You talked about needing to upgrade in some positions. Which positions got the biggest upgrade? Because there was more than one area where the Rams needed to fix.
Yeah, I think that a couple of spots they really helped themselves at. One, on the offensive line at guard, they added Harvey Dahl from Atlanta, a big mauling type. And that was only one addition, but I think his impact is something that can be felt amongst all those linemen. He brings that kind of mean, nasty streak that they've been missing, kind of a mauler in the run game, something that they really need. So that's a big one. Outside linebacker, they needed a lot of help there. They brought in two new starters, a couple of veterans, and Brady Papinga and Ben Lieber, guys who have been around, know what they're doing, and are going to be a lot more solid, especially against the run, an area where the Rams were kind of up and down last year. And then really in the backfield, bringing in Jarius Norwood and Cadillac Williams, a couple of running backs to help Steven Jackson out and also give them some options on third down and do some different things in different packages. So all those three areas really especially they got better at.
We're talking with Nick Wagner of StLouisRams.com. He's their senior writer. So much now, the NFL game seems to be switching to more of a passing game. It's more pass first. But the other side of it, though, is when you look at the running attack of teams and teams that are having success now, you have more than one running back, and you need more than that. So it seems almost a contradiction that while the game is leaning more passing game, you're having more success if you have more than one running back that can hold up that end of the line, right?
Yeah, it's actually really interesting. I wrote about this yesterday with Steven Jackson, and it's really interesting because he's kind of the last of a dying breed of those guys who are kind of one back system, and those guys kind of wear it as a badge of honor. He really takes pride in the fact that he's been the one workhorse back the whole time he's been here. But I think a lot of that is, because it's a passing league, you don't have a lot of running backs anymore that can do all the things you need to do to play all three downs, where you can run on first and second down, and then on third down you have the ability to catch passes out of the backfield and be helpful in blitz pickup and pass protection and those things. So I think it's become more specialized because of that and because it's a passing league. So you have a lot of teams that go out there and say, okay, we have this guy who's going to be our guy to run the ball on first and second down. Then on third down, we're going to bring in our guy who's more of a pass catcher. And, it all kind of started with New England. If you go back to the beginning of the century here, they didn't have that one back that could carry the load, but they had guys like Kevin Falk who were specialists that could come in on third down and catch passes and move the chains that way. So that's just kind of the trend that's taken hold. You see very few Steven Jacksons anymore, that's for sure.
You talk about the New England Patriots, and I have to go to Josh McDaniels, the new offensive coordinator for the Rams. How are he and Steve Spagnuolo working together, and how is that relationship so far?
It's great. The one great thing about Steve Spagnuolo is he's very secure with himself, and he really does a good job of delegating to his assistants and trusting in them and working with them. And this staff really does a good job of kind of having a collective effort on the way they game plan and the way they put the playbooks together. Josh McDaniels has been given the power to run this offense and to bring it together, but at the same time he's accepted input from Rams coaches that are still here and they kind of collaborated on things and put the playbook together that way. Now, this is Josh McDaniels' system. Let's not make a mistake about that, but there's a lot of input and things that the Rams felt that they did well last year that they took from that and kind of incorporated into what Josh McDaniels wants to do as well. So far, so good in terms of all that.
What I get from when I look at Steve Spagnuolo, I mean, he just looks like a genuinely nice guy, and he looks like someone who is in control of himself and very self-assured to be able to bring in a guy who was a head coach in Denver and turn that over. What is he like as a person? I mean, he just, I look at him, and when I hear him in interviews, I would think, man, if I was a player for him, I'd run through a wall for that guy.
He really is. He's really unbelievable. I mean, he's the kind of guy that you would run through a wall for. And I think not just players, but I think there's staff members in the building that would do the same thing for him because he's so genuine. And you know that he everything he does, he wants to do for the betterment of everyone and the organization as a whole, not just for his career. And that's kind of the person that he is. His wife is probably the sweetest person on the planet. They're just very genuine, sincere people who work hard and want to do well.
We're speaking with Nick Wagner, the senior writer for StLouisRams.com. Let's talk about Sam Bradford, because I was very leery when they took him with the number one pick or their first round pick last year, and just as quickly as they wanted to develop him. And you just never really seem to see quarterbacks catch on as quick as he has. But, I mean, he is the real deal. And then you bring in Josh McDaniels and his new system, and Bradford has picked that up pretty quick. I mean, this guy is truly amazing and is going to be a star in this league if he isn't a star already.
Yeah, you know, the thing I think that everyone looks at when you look at quarterbacks, obviously there's physical tools that you have to have, but to really succeed in this league, there's things that you have to do to make yourself great, and that a lot of that is studying and working in the classroom and constantly staying up on what defenses are doing, how they're trying to attack you, how you can attack them, and then on top of that, knowing your own system and knowing what your guys are doing. Sam Bradford has that. Sam Bradford's the kind of guy who is, you know, it's cliche, but he is that guy who's the first guy in the building and the last guy to leave. And he's here on Tuesdays on the player's day off, and he spends a couple hours with Coach Spagnuolo, and Spagnuolo will take the time to say, you know, this show him the defense and say, this is the way the defense is doing it, because he gives them that defensive perspective, and they have a give and take on Tuesdays. And you know, there's just so many things that Sam Bradford does, not only out on the practice field, but in the classroom to make himself a better player. And he just really just wants to win. He's got that kind of competitive fire that you look for, the kind of guy that, you know, he loves ping pong. And, you know, if he's playing ping pong or if he's playing football, he wants to beat you, and he wants to beat you bad.
You know, I wonder, being here in Missouri, I wonder if Rams fans kind of looked at him as kind of the Oklahoma Sooner, kind of the bad guy. And do you think there was maybe some of that crept into it in terms of some of the criticism of, oh, he can't take a hit, let's see what happens when he gets out of that spread offense and all of that negativity? But the fans really didn't see the stuff you mentioned about the game film and that type of studying. Do you think there was a little bit of that when they picked him?
You know, that's a good question. I don't necessarily think so. I definitely think there was pieces of people questioning whether his shoulder could hold up, whether he could translate from the spread offense to the NFL. All those things. I don't necessarily know if it was related to the fact that he was a Sooner, but it definitely seemed like people here in St. Louis embraced him pretty quickly. Maybe there were some Missouri fans who had their doubts, but you know the thing is if you really think about it, the other guy that would have been up for choosing there is the guy that broke the or at least sprained the ankle of the starting quarterback for Missouri in Ndamukong Suh. So I'm not so sure if they were going to go that way if it was a Big 12 thing that they would have loved him as much. Either.
That's a very good point. You have a chance, Nick, to talk to these guys and cover them quickly. When there's things that come out about, oh, is this guy tough enough? And are you close enough with Sam? I mean, what is his impression of that stuff, or when he hears that stuff? I mean, does he relay any of that to you, or do those players tend to keep that stuff privately? Because I would think that's got to be annoying.
You know, Sam's a pretty private guy, but you can kind of tell when things agitate him. I think that one of the things that he just got, I think he understood. There's no question that he understood. He gets the whole side of that, but he understood when people asked him about the shoulder, whether it was healthy, whether he was going to be able to hold up, all that stuff. But I think you get past a certain point, you know, the first couple of weeks of camp, or then you get into games and he starts taking some hits and he proves that he can do it, and then the questions keep coming. I think that would probably bother anybody, you know, and so I think there was a time period there where it annoyed him, and I think if you asked him today about a shoulder, he would probably be annoyed by it. But I think that's probably true of just about anybody who has kind of gone through the process and proved to everyone that it's not really an issue, and it was more of a just kind of a fluke thing that happened to him. And it's football, you know, guys get injured all the time. So to pin it on him like he was some injury-prone player when really it was just a matter of the one injury and maybe coming back a little too quick from it, probably wasn't fair to begin with.
All right, I do want to talk about one Missouri player, and that is Denario Alexander. Of course, he set many records at Missouri. Everyone knows about his chronic knee problems. There was at least there was this perception that he may be one of the last guys that, that make the cut for the wide receiver position. How is his health? Is he going to be able to hold up and play an entire 16-game season? I know, you know, Coach loves him.
Yeah, you know, that's the million-dollar question is can he hold up over the course of the season? You know, the thing with Denario is people forget this year was his first NFL training camp, and he didn't have a chance to go through the grind of that and see how it went last year as a rookie, because he was still kind of recovering from that the knee surgery he had following the Senior Bowl there. And he came out this year, and yeah, you know, the knee is going to be something that he's going to have to manage every week. It's going to be something that's going to bother him. It's going to be sore. There's going to be swelling, all those things. But the workload lightens up a little bit when you get to the regular season, because you obviously want to have guys ready for the game. So he's already kind of said, you know, this is a little easier now that I've been through a training camp and I know that I can handle the pounding that it took. And people made it sound like he did go in for an MRI during camp and people thought that things were going to kind of fall apart there and he was going to have surgery again and that was going to be that. But He went to get an MRI, and the next day he was back on the practice field. He only missed three practices the whole training camp, which compared to the other receivers, you know, Mike Sims-Walker missed a few, I think. Donnie Avery missed more than that. So there's a lot of guys on the depth chart at receiver that were missing as much or more practice than Denario. But I think people just assume because the knee is always going to be an issue that it's something that was going to hold him back. And he really fought through it and has kind of earned his spot here.
Nick Wagner is the senior writer for StLouisRams.com. You brought up a good point about this being Denario's first training camp. He came in, and I can't remember the exact circumstances, but he came into Rams camp last year and met with the front office and met with Coach Spagnuolo, and they were really impressed by him. And then he obviously got the opportunity then. What was it about those first impressions that they liked about Denario?
Obviously you look at his game film, especially from his senior year at Mizzou, and you're impressed by that, and you add to it the fact that the guy's 6'5" and he's fast, and he's a very unique receiver in a lot of ways, and gives you an element that you don't necessarily have with your other receivers. But I think the other thing is you're talking about a kid who's had five knee surgeries. Four very serious knee surgeries and another one that was mildly serious, and has continued to fight through it and has never given up on his dream, and he clearly loves football. You'll never question, what he's in it for. He loves the game. He wants to keep playing. A lot of guys would have given up, and I think that really impresses a head coach and impressed everybody here, just the way that he wanted to continue to battle and wanted to come back and try to live out his dream, and that's exactly what he's doing now.
Well, let's talk about the season, and we'll let you go here. We'll wrap this up soon. But you talk about if there's any bit of confidence having a 4-0 record in the preseason, it certainly has to carry over, because the first seven games for the Rams, absolutely brutal. And for our listeners, they've got the Eagles this weekend, then they're at the Giants, the Ravens, the Redskins. They come off a bye week at Green Bay, at Dallas, and then New Orleans at home. If they can get through this part, and then they take on their division, they've got a solid shot at winning. But, man, that is a tough way to start the season.
Yeah, I don't necessarily buy into the whole predicting what the schedule is going to be like, how difficult it's going to be at the beginning of the year. Maybe I look at it a little different than everybody, but I know this, that each of the last 15 years in the NFL, this is a stat, each of the last 15 years in the NFL, there's been at minimum five new playoff teams every year. So you're looking at least 50% turnover in the playoffs. So that what that means to me is that, sure, that yeah, it looks tough on paper, and there's going to be some teams in there that are going to be very difficult to beat, the Green Bays of the world, New Orleans, all those things. But there's probably going to be one or two of those teams that you think are going to be really tough that aren't going to be as good as they've been in the past. And the other thing is maybe the Rams are reaching a point now where maybe those teams should be looking at the Rams and saying, boy, that's a tough game for us. And I think that's kind of the point the Rams are trying to get to, and maybe this is the year that they break through with it. But to your point, the division games are something that's hugely important. Obviously, last year the interdivisional games is what cost them the division title, because they finished with the same record as Seattle, but they lost it on the tiebreaker of division record. So that's an opportunity at the end of the year, like you said, if they can manage themselves the first seven or so games, where they can really separate themselves and take this division home.
I mean, in all honesty, when you look at the division, I think the Rams stand head and shoulders above the rest of them. You got Tavares Jackson in Seattle. I think there's a big question mark there. Coach Harbaugh, he may do eventually a good job in San Francisco, but I still think they have a lot of issues to work out. And then they've got Kevin Cobb in Arizona, who's still somewhat unproven. I mean, this is an opportunity for the Rams that they can really clean up in head-to-head competition.
Yeah, I agree. I think there's a chance there to really do some damage this year. And it's like, you know, the thing you point out is probably the biggest key of all. This is a quarterback's league, and the Rams are by far the most settled quarterback situation, probably the most proven quarterback, although I guess you could argue Cobb, although he's only started seven games. But they're in a position because of that, I think, if nothing else, to really make a difference in the division. That people forget too, a lot of these division teams play the same teams the Rams play, with a couple of exceptions, and that's it. You know, they play the same divisions. Everybody else plays the NFC East, so everybody plays the AFC North, so everyone's gonna have to see those same teams, maybe at different times, maybe later in the season when injuries have hit those teams, but nonetheless they're still gonna have to see them.
Great stuff. Nick Wagner, the senior writer, stlouisrams.com. I love reading your stuff, and we'll have it linked here with this story for our Press Box podcast. I hope we can catch up again throughout the season and talk about the Rams and see how things are progressing.
Sure. Anytime you need me, give me a call.
That'd be great. Thanks a lot, Nick.
All right. Take care.